Welcome, grace and peace to you as we gather together in the name of the living Christ to worship God with one another this morning. Surely God is with us as we worship together in spirit and in truth. Let us begin our service with prayer. Most gracious God, as we continue to celebrate the resurrection of Christ, we pray that we may be bound together in Christian love, and that our faith and fellowship may be a witness through which your Spirit will bring others into your congregation. We humbly thank you for your many blessings you have given us. We ask that we may learn how to truly be Easter people and always remember that we are celebrating Resurrection Day every day. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus our Christ. Amen. Welcome again to Parma Christian Church. You're welcome to join us here every Sunday on Facebook Live at 10:45 a.m. or worship with us in the sanctuary. For any visitors who are joining with us today, I'm Reverend Nancy Dunn, the interim pastor at Parma Christian Church. Richard Woodward is our organist and pianist. Daryl Cravanos is our IT technician, videographer, and our elder of the day. There are a few items I'd like to remind you of this morning as we worship together, both in person and at home virtually. The first is we will be celebrating Holy Communion with one another. As you came into the sanctuary, I hope you remember to pick up your communion cup as you came in. One side has the bread, the other the juice. For those of you who are at home, we invite you to use whatever you may have with you in your home. I remind you about offering. Your generosity is greatly appreciated, as your offering is what keeps our ministry going here at Parma Christian Church. You may use our online giving tool found on our church website, www.parmachristianchurch.org, or mail in your offering to 7000 Ridge Road, Parma, Ohio, 44129, or simply place your offering in the plate in the back of the sanctuary. For those of us here in the sanctuary, just a quick reminder that we need to follow all COVID-19 safety protocols by wearing our masks at all times, except for during communion, staying at least 6 feet away from others who are not part of our immediate COVID bubble or family unit. And also remind everyone just to give everyone a friendly hello by waving to each other. And when we recite the Lord's Prayer, please do so quietly so we can keep our aerosols in the congregation to a minimum. When the service is concluded, we ask that you exit the sanctuary and do any visiting outside in the parking lot, also maintaining that 6 feet away. Thankfully, today is a beautiful spring day here in Northeast Ohio, so we can be warm when we go outside today. And now our worship continues with music offered to us by our organist. Our scripture today is from the first John chapter 4, verses 7 through 21. Reminder that this letter was written presumably by someone who was either the author of the Gospel of John or in that school of writing, and it is constructed like a piece of music. The author states a few simple themes: light, truth, life, and love, and then builds variations on them. Today, our theme of our scripture is clearly love. Hear now this scripture from God's holy word. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, I love God, and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The 14th century was a tough time to be alive in England. In 1337, the Hundred Years' War with France began and lasted for 116 years, hence its name, a Hundred Years' War. There was also war with Scotland and struggles between kings and barons. The bubonic plague was a recurring threat. The Black Death broke out in 1348, and in 2 years, killed between a third and a half of England's population. In 1361, there occurred a less severe but still devastating outbreak, which became known as the Grey Death. And around 1370, another outbreak struck Norwich, England's second largest city. Among other things, the repeated outbreaks of plague led to labor shortage, which combined with bad harvests, high taxes and prices, and low wages, led to civil unrest, climaxing in 1381 in the Peasants' Revolt, the largest such uprising of the Middle Ages. Yeah, I'm speaking of the Middle Ages, I'm not speaking of now. In the church, things weren't much better. The papacy was in exile in southern France, and back in England, aggressive campaigns to stamp out heresy led to public burnings at the stake. England at that time was still Catholic. Henry VIII had not yet graced the throne. There was no Anglican church. Now, in the midst of all this death, violence, and fear, an unknown woman from Norwich received a revelation of love and hope. And on May 13th, 1373, at the age of 30, Julian of Norwich, as we know her, lay in bed so sick that the priest was called to administer last rites. He held a crucifix before her and asked her to look upon her Savior and take comfort. And when she did, she was surprised to see blood flowing from beneath the crown of thorns. So began a series of 16 visions, which, after recovering from her illness, she did survive. Julian would later write 2 books, each bearing the titles Showings or Revelations of Divine Love. These were the first books written by a woman in the English language that we know of. Now, though her visions center on Christ's suffering and death, their content is remarkably hopeful. In the final chapter of her revised version of the book, Julian summarizes the message of these visions. She tells us that she had meditated on these visions for 15 years before writing them down, trying to discern their meaning. And finally, she received an answer in which she calls a spiritual understanding. And this is what she wrote. "What would you know your Lord's meaning in this thing? Know it well. Love was the meaning. Who showed it to you? Love. What did God show you? Love. Why did God show you it? For love. Hold on to that, and you will understand more of the same. But apart from that, you will never understand anything." So she continues writing, "I was taught that love is our Lord's meaning. I saw most surely in this and in all that our God made that God loved us. And this love was never satisfied and never will be. All God's works have been done in this love, and in this love God has made everything that is for our benefit. And in this love our life is everlasting. In our creation we had a beginning, but the love in which God made us was in what was in God without beginning. In this love we have our beginning. All that we will see in God without end. In an age of anxiety and judgment, an age of vivid descriptions and visions of hell, an age of war, uprising, disease, love was what was revealed to Julian of Norwich as both the divine nature and purpose. It was and is a message that casts out fear and gives hope. Love is the central message of 1 John. God is love, the writer declares, not power, not judgment, not a king, not even goodness, but love. This is the very nature of God, agape, self-giving, purely gratuitous love. Everything that God does is an expression of love. As the theologian William Self observes, if God creates, God does it in love. If God rules, God does it in love. If God judges, God does it in love. If God forgives, God does it in love. If God gives, God does it in love. God cannot help it, because God is love. Philosophers and everyday humans, we all know it to be true that God is ultimately beyond our own comprehension. We can sit around and throw out philosophical ideas about who God is all the time, and we'll still never truly understand it in our human minds. However, this much we can know, this much has been shown to us, that God is love. Love is how God defines God's self. And this truth of God being love is revealed to us in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We were separated from God by our sins, cut off by our own failure to love God and neighbor. Out of a great love for us, God came to us in Jesus so that we might be reconciled with God, so that we might be one with God. God sent God's Son to be the Savior of the world. Christ came so that we might have abundant life, the life of love here in this world and thereafter in eternal life is in the presence of God who is love. We are God's beloved children. Therefore, we ought to love as God loves, the best we can in our humanity. This is the sign that we are God's children. The one who loves is born of God. God's love is primary. God loved us first, and this love calls forth our own love. You know, there's that old kid's song, "We love because God first loved us." God's love is at once both the model of our love and the power which enables us to love. The theologian Cole Turner presents John's argument succinctly. To know the God of love is to live the love of God. To know the God of love is to live the love of God. If God empowers us to love, then it is also God who perfects our love, who brings our love to maturity. Perfect love is love that is becoming even more mature, growing to more fully mirror God's own love. Such love is grounded in our own experience of and trust in God's love for us. Now, we have seen God's love displayed in the life, the teachings, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That, for us, is the blueprint for living out God's love. And the more we trust in that love, the more we believe that God really does look on us in compassion, mercy, and care, the more fully we are able to love one another and to love others. If we abide in God's love, we will bear the fruits of love because we know the fullness and depth of God's love for the world. We will be enabled to overcome our fears and risk loving one another, no matter who they are, what they look like, or how different they are from us. You know, I alluded to it a little bit earlier, thinking about the time in which Julian of Norwich lived. There are many similarities to our own. We too have lived and are continuing to live during a pandemic that has caused many deaths, not only here in the United States, but across the world. It has changed the world around us. It has changed us in many ways. And of course, there continues to be, even outside of the pandemic, a mistrust of others, civil unrest, violence, and death, and clashes between various levels of society. All of that sounds pretty familiar. Yet even in the midst of all of this chaos, love can be found. One of the silver linings of the pandemic, and there are silver linings, we just have to look for them. But one of them is that, according to a recent survey, 52% of Americans who participated in that survey reported volunteering in their communities as a result of the circumstances brought on by the pandemic. Many of those were first-time volunteers. They had never volunteered before. And some of the activities that they were volunteering in included delivering food to essential workers, volunteering at a food pantry, volunteering to help their elderly neighbors with work around their homes, or even giving blood for the first time. Why did they volunteer? They said, in the common theme of what they were talking about in the survey, they said it was because the pandemic was a wake-up call to reach out to their communities. It's because volunteering provided them with a hands-on way to show their care and concern for others. In essence, it helped them learn to love others. You see, we really only have two choices in life. We can either let the anger, hate, confusion, and pain of this world blind us to the goodness that exists, or we can open ourselves to the love of God, which is available to all of us. And through that love, we can begin to see past the fear, the hate, and the anger, and see how much more love there really is, because love never ends. When we begin to see God in the most ordinary, everyday acts of love and kindness, then we begin to live out that love in our own lives, even if in just small, everyday acts of kindness and compassion. So our challenge for this week is to help be that love of Christ, not just to one another that we know, but to others in our world, to live out that love in new ways, to see God's love and to see how it's made manifest in this world. See how God's love shines through you and through others in a way that reveals God and Christ to others in our world. So as we go forth this week, look for that love. Feel that love. Know that you are loved. And then reach out in that love to others. Amen. As we come to our time of prayer today, for those of you who are worshiping with us at home, I invite you to type your prayer concerns into the chat, letting us know of who you would like us to pray for this week. And we will pray for them. Today, we give prayers of thanksgiving for Elaine and Don, who both celebrate a birthday on Tuesday. And we also lift up the following prayer concerns. We pray for Bob, Brenda, Dennis, Steve, Pam, Kathy and Tom, Carol, Julie's granddaughter Ricky, Jackie and Nicole, Burday, Burday's brother Clyde, Terry and the Marchese family. We also pray for the family of Joan Chambers, who is a former member here who died recently. And we also pray for Mary Ann and her family upon the death of Mary Ann's mother, Ida. Funeral arrangements are pending, and we will let the congregation know more when we have that information. We pray for all who've been exposed to or diagnosed with COVID-19. We pray for all who are affected by the economic impact of the pandemic. And we also pray for our country that we might see one another as valued children of God. Let us go to God together in prayer this morning. Center us now, Holy God, on your presence in this place among your people, as we lift up our heart's desires and our soul's deepest needs, our hungers, our fears, and our failures. As we've often failed to be obedient to your will in our lives as individual disciples, we pray that you will forgive us and enliven us to be and to do the gospel of Christ in this world. Open us to your Spirit's urgings and awaken us to live faithfully as your people in a changing, often hurting world. Help us to live out your love wherever we may go. We pray for those around us who need your care and ask that you would make of us your instruments of healing, peace, and redemption. We pray especially for those that we have named to you this day and others that we lift to you in the silence of our hearts. Reveal your presence with them and with us, God of life, and that as a people of renewed faith and vitality, we may be empowered to serve your world. And so give glory to you, for we offer our prayers and our lives in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray to you, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.